a lot of people have questions about the rights of people in hotels, what their rights are, and about helping with legal advice. And yeah, such questions should be answered by someone with legal knowledge and experience. And so we're really delighted that today we've got Sarah Wahby on the call with us. Sarah is a senior immigration caseworker in the legal aid team at Turpin and Miller. And yeah, so over to you, Sarah. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanna. And yeah, thank you for inviting me. And it's great to be here with everyone who's really at the front line helping people who have so many needs. I'm going to try and do what I can. I've got sort of three main points I'm going to cover. The long waiting times. So I'll unpack that a bit for people who are claiming asylum, removals to Rwanda. And I was asked to talk a bit about people's reactions in hotels, if that can impact on their asylum claim. I'm not going to cover everything today, but I'll do my best to cover those points and then there'll be questions. So long waiting times, I'm going to talk about that in two ways. So adult asylum claims are being processed very slowly. We're seeing people waiting over a year for their interview. And then once they're interviewed, there can be a long delay for the decision to come through. There is some good news on the horizon in that I read last week that the Home Office have aiming to recruit 2,500 more caseworkers in the Home Office. And that will be by August this year, 23. They only have currently 597 caseworkers. So that's going to be a big increase. In my work, I also work with unaccompanied young people, and we have seen a real improvement since September 2022 with people being interviewed much faster. Unfortunately, that hasn't had a knock-on effect yet for adults, which I presume is everyone in the hotels. But I hope with this uplift, there'll be more decisions and more interviews happening, because waiting is just so difficult for people. And then in amongst the long waiting times is also just finding a legal representative, a solicitor or a caseworker. There's a really big shortage of legal aid, law firms that offer the legal aid. It's basically a knock-on effect from austerity. The amount that's paid per case hasn't increased for several decades, two decades, I think. So I'm saying that just to put it in context. A lot of law firms just don't do it anymore. And I've got a map in front of me, which I can share, but it shows that there's no legal aid providers around Oxfordshire at all in all the surrounding counties. There's one in Buckingham and one in Nottingham, Northampton, and then a few in London. So we're really looking at getting access to good legal advice, as has been mentioned by previous speakers, is a real problem, because there just aren't legal aid providers. Then people have to pay private, which is prohibitive. So those are the long waiting times, unfortunately. Removals to Rwanda. This is a big topic. So on the 16th of January, 2023, so not long ago, the High Court gave permission for the decision to remove people who are claiming asylum to Rwanda. They gave permission for that to be appealed because it was found to be lawful, but some individual people who are going through the asylum process and asylum aid have challenged that, and that challenge has been allowed. So there's a battle going on, a conversation going on, and it's going to the Court of Appeal. So it is highly unlikely that there's going to be any removals to Rwanda while this is going on in the Court of Appeal. So what it will mean, though, is people are still, as the previous speaker just mentioned, getting those scary letters. They're called notice of intent letters. They're still going to be sending those out. But the reality is that they're not going to be, there's going to be no removals in the near future until this litigation, this process has gone through the Court of Appeal. I've had a few clients get those notice of intent letters, and no doubt some people here have seen, they're very alarming, they're very frightening. Even for people who aren't getting those letters, it sends a very frightening message that they're not welcome. So being alongside someone, standing alongside someone, supporting them, offering them welcome, offering them sanctuary, offering them space in wherever it is, the faith group, community space, is really, really important. And if you do have someone who gets one of those letters, they should, yes, speak to their legal representative if they've got one. And if they don't, they should try and approach a law firm or a legal aid provider and say, I've got this notice of intent, because they are time sensitive. You have to respond to them. But like I said, I want to reinforce, I think we can all do a lot to reassure people that they are not yet currently operational. So, but it's still alarming for people when they receive those notices of intent. The third point I was going to talk about, if someone, Joanna asked me sort of to look at if someone makes a complaint in the hotel, or they leave the hotel with no notice, or, you know, will that affect their asylum claim? I had a look through the Home Office policies. There are many of them on making decisions, asylum decision making policies, and it makes no mention in any of those that the hotel accommodation being left or being complained about would impact. It shouldn't. Asylum is about the risk on return to their home country. So as far as I can see, there's no impact that would go directly if someone isn't happy in their hotel. You're helping someone to advocate for their rights, for better food. That's not going to impact on their asylum claim. And then I'm just going to go to just some ideas of what can be done, what should be avoided. I guess we all know here, you know, avoid giving any legal advice. I would even sort of say, if someone does show you a Home Office document, don't be tempted as you might be to read it and to try and decipher it for them. I would say, you know, coming back to boundaries, say to them, I think you should show that to your legal representative or someone who's helping you, help them to access that through one of the local organisations who've been speaking tonight. Yes, so just to avoid that, because also the Home Office use sometimes different wording and it might be misinterpreted, and yeah, it's just better to steer away from doing that. What can be done? So much. You're already all doing it. You know, standing alongside someone, as I've mentioned, it shouldn't be underestimated. The fact that you're British or resident here, established here, then you're showing welcome. It's just so important. It can also be later down the line if you can, letters of support. If you are in someone's congregation or you're teaching them or you've been supporting them, and you can account for all the things they've been doing within your organization, your community, that's really, really important. If you're friends with someone, just they're important to you, you've got close to somebody, you can also write a letter of support for their asylum claim. And this can be helpful to show, you know, that they should be able to remain here on human rights grounds. It's not going to be the central part of their asylum claim, but it's something to put in there. So it's very valuable too. There are these incredibly long delays, which some people can handle. Some people really find it very pressured and stressful, but trying to normalize those long delays so that people sometimes don't feel like it's personal. Why is my claim taking so long? You know, if you can help them to understand that, unfortunately, there are these long backlogs and everyone's waiting. Keeping people distracted and busy, as I hear people are doing, you know, very keen and often very resourceful and resilient problem solving people, and helping them to find ways to be industrious and to give back to their communities is really helpful. And again, it can be documented and shown that this is someone who wants to contribute and integrate and is good at, you know, contributing to their society, to the UK society. I think I've got 10 minutes, so I'm going to stop talking there. I hope I've covered some of the points, Joanna, and I'll, if there's questions. Thanks.
Super. Thank you very much, Sarah. That's fantastic.